This is Lightning Power Lunch with Dave Mishkin and Greg Linnelli on Lightning Radio.
I mean, we've been together for a long time, and, you know, for us to have a coach that believes in us and puts a lot of trust in us and a lot of decision-making, too. So, yeah, I mean, he's good at he knows what we need, you know, at certain times, and some leeway, or, you know, some heart-to-hearts or whatever it is. So, like I said, a lot of us have been together for a long time, and we know what makes each other tick, and to try to get the best out of us. And, yeah, he's done a great job with it.
Everybody just wants health when you get out of the game. And but what I do know is it's the National Hockey League, and every time, you know, as soon as the puck drops, everybody's game on and gives it everything they have. So, you know, Ottawa's always been a team that's just, you know, got good young talent, blessed with a lot of speed, and if you don't slow them down, it's going to be a long night for you, and they're always good games with them.
Yeah, they're always good games. There's always some chippiness. Matthew Joseph probably will score twice, and it's just kind of how this goes with the Ottawa Senators. A game that really doesn't mean anything. Let's just be frank about it. Back-to-back games where, at least in terms of where the Lightning are going to be in the standings, not going to have a huge impact. I think most people look at the Lightning and say, first wild card, starting on the road for the playoffs, and that's kind of where we are. And these games against teams that are outside of the playoffs partner, just, you know, it's a different feel. We can build it up as much as we can, but it is kind of like, all right, Ottawa Senators, let's go.
Well, that's your attitude and maybe your mentality.
Heck yeah.
And maybe some of the fans share that attitude and mentality. I think if you're John Cooper, though, you have to make sure your team doesn't have that attitude and mentality. And one way you can get their attention, understanding all that you just said is absolutely true, right? This is, for all intents and purposes, a meaningless game in terms of the standings. The Lightning are locked in to no worse than the first wild card, and they have, I would say, at best, an outside chance at moving up to third. And how important is it for them to move up to third? It's probably not overly important. I mean, they'd like to finish as high as they can, but they're not going to fill up the gas tank and try and turbo it, right, to finish in third. They want to just be ready for the playoffs. So what can you do to get your team's attention? Well, one thing you can do is put Matt Tompkins in the net. That kind of is a little bit of an unexpected twist, right?
We were trying to figure that out, right? And it looks like he's got the start.
Yeah, and I think that this is as much about, look, they're not going to say exactly why. Vasi played on Tuesday. Presumably he's going to play Saturday in Washington. That's not a huge gap for him, so that part makes sense. I mean, what I had said a couple of weeks ago was if the Lightning are secure, they've clinched a playoff spot, and it makes sense to give Vasilevsky a night off in that he's not going to be sitting for a long time, maybe they'll do it. This checks both of those boxes, but I think the third component is what you just brought up. Like, having Tompkins in the net should get the Lightning's attention. They want to do well for him. So, interestingly, Tompkins now, this will be his fifth NHL start, fifth start of the year. Two have come against Montreal, now two against Ottawa. He made his NHL debut against Ottawa. Lightning lost that game. It was back in early October. It was, the third game of the year for the Lightning. But Tompkins at least knows the Senators, right? Like, one of the games he's played in the NHL has come against Ottawa, and to the extent that they've called some guys up, you know, in Syracuse and Belleville, which is Ottawa's AHL affiliate, like, they play each other a lot as well. So he has some familiarity with this team that he's facing tonight. The other news is that it sounds like Duclair is battling a stomach bug, if I heard that right. I was late coming to Cooper's press conference, so I missed him actually saying it, but other people told me that Duclair is under the weather, essentially. So Connor Sherry was taking Duclair's spot during the morning skate line rushes with Point and Kucherov, and perhaps he will be in tonight if Duclair is unable to go. And if Duclair is 50-50, kind of to that point, why would you try and rush him back, right? There's no need to kind of push the envelope and try and to get him to play based on the circumstances that you just laid out at the top of the show.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think that is one element of this game that you need to take into consideration is that if your backup goaltender is playing, are players a little more responsible with how they should view this game and play it? And that might be the case. I'm wondering if this also means Vasi gets the rest of the starts from here on out.
Yeah, there would only be three games left.
Yeah, including that last one that we've discussed. And you know, depending on when the playoffs
nothing
begin.
Is official. But, you know. Yeah, nothing is official, but I just had a conversation with Steve as we're trying to kind of plot out the schedule, and it sounds like there's a greater likelihood that the Lightning will open the playoffs on the first day of the playoffs, Saturday. It's not etched in stone. We know the playoffs begin on Saturday. It's contingent on who the Lightning are playing. They'll be on the road, but if the Lightning are getting that same information, it would make sense then that Vasi goes Monday, Wednesday, Saturday next week. And I don't see Tompkins getting two starts in a row. I think Vasi plays Saturday in Washington.
I think that's fair. I think that's probably how this plays out. And, you know, hard to disagree. Hard to disagree with how all of this. And you wonder if Johansson was playing, if it would still be the same thing, you know, where he would get the start today. And, you know, Vasi has the remaining. So an opportunity for Tompkins to get another start under his belt, more game tape that he can put out there for not only the Lightning, but all the other teams, because he's trying to make a name for himself in the National Hockey League. And, you know, there's a certain level of, hey, I don't know how many more of these I'll get. Yeah. I want to make the most of those opportunities and play pretty well. And let's see how this all transpires. Matthew Joseph always likes to play against the Lightning. Isn't it amazing?
4 goals against the Lightning since the trade, and he's got 3 goals this year. 2 game-winning goals.
Isn't it
Senators
incredible?
Senators have beaten the Lightning in 2 of the 3 games. And Joseph has the game-winning goal in both.
Yeah. The clinching scenarios for today, it looks like it's coming down mainly to the Kings today with what they could do. If they defeat the Flames in any fashion, they will clinch a playoff berth. The Stars can clinch the Central Division title if they defeat Winnipeg in any fashion. Additionally, a Stars Division title would clinch a Colorado Avalanche Winnipeg Jets first round series.
That would be a very interesting series because you have one of the top offensive teams in the NHL against one of the top defensive teams in the NHL.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, it's one of those scenarios where it feels like every day from here on out, we're going to get a little closer to who is going to be playing who and who's going to be clinching. Big one tonight, too. Detroit and Pittsburgh.
Very big one.
That game's in Pittsburgh. You almost get the sense whoever wins that game in regulation is going to go a long way to clinching, potentially, that last wild card. I do think it's coming down to Washington, Pittsburgh, and Detroit for the last wild card. My sense is, even though I'm not crazy about their team, they've won 5 in a row, and there's a little daylight between them and everybody else that's trying to catch them in the Metro, is that the Islanders, I think, have the inside track on that third spot. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to falter a little bit here, Dave, and the other teams are going to have to maybe win out for them to slide out
third spot. I'll say this, though, about the Islanders, and I've talked about kind of the difficulty of handicapping the remaining schedule. Like you talked about, the Penguins have a pretty demanding final schedule. And we talked about Washington has had a pretty demanding schedule for about a month and a half, and they're hanging in there. So the remaining 3 games for the Islanders, at Rangers, at Devils, home Pittsburgh, I could see them losing all 3 of those games. They just beat the Rangers in a pretty... Actually, I forgot. They have 4 games left. They start home against Montreal. So I could see them winning the Montreal game, but the Montreal just laid the hammer down on the Flyers, right? But after that, at Rangers, at Devils, home Pittsburgh, I could see the Islanders going 1-3 in their final 4 games. And why do I say that? Their win against the Rangers was really heated the other night. Zibanejad collided with Adam Pellick in the neutral zone. It was actually reminiscent a little bit of the Fleury-Kuzari collision, except in this instance, Zibanejad was the only one shaken up. And neither, I think Zibanejad came back, but Peter Laviolette was not happy after the game. He felt that it was a vicious hit. You ask me my opinion, I don't think Pelech saw Zibanejad, but I have no skin in the game here. I'm just giving you my opinion. I thought it was just a collision between two guys who didn't see each other, similar to the Fleury-Kuzari collision. The Rangers are going to be very motivated to dish out a revenge-laden defeat to the Islanders on Saturday. And it's been a really disappointing year for the Devils. But that's still a rivalry game. It's in New Jersey. I could see the Devils really getting up to play that game and play really well against the Islanders. And then if it comes down to the last game, Pittsburgh and the Islanders, if that game means something to Pittsburgh, why wouldn't Pittsburgh be able to win that game? So, like, you're saying the Islanders have the inside track. The Islanders have the inside track. You were right about that. But they've got some potholes to navigate around in their remaining
All those teams are flawed. I don't know if I like any of them, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. But don't you agree? You could see the Islanders, like, they might beat Montreal tonight, but they could lose their last three games.
I mean, they could. You just wonder, it seems like, are they in one of those hot modes?
Yeah.
Right now, so maybe that overcomes some deficiencies they have. And the Islanders always play the Pittsburgh tough. I mean, they've had their number in the postseason dating back to, what was it, 93?
Yeah.
But even most recently, and then that last game is in, you know, Long Island. That's going to be a tough one. So I think if you're Pittsburgh, you're looking at, you know, winning for sure the next three, because you could maybe make an argument 3-1 over your next four get you in. But I think you have to take care of business against Detroit and the Islanders. But that's me if you want to get in. But we're going to start seeing that today.
Yeah. Look, there are some games that have no significance whatsoever. Teams are out of
the playoffs.
The
Blue Jackets, Panthers?
What I was going to say is teams that are out of the playoffs playing teams that are either out of the playoffs or locked into a spot and probably not moving up or down.
Yeah.
And I think the Lightning and Maple Leafs are probably in that boat. I mean, you mentioned the Colorado-Winnipeg situation. Like, that looks like it's going to be happening more likely than not. But, you know, there's still potential movement between, you know, the Bruins are at 107, Carolina's at 107, the Rangers are at 110. Like, those two, Carolina might be looking at potentially getting into first in the division. The Bruins might be looking at potentially, from the Bruins' perspective, passing the Rangers and getting one of those quote-unquote flawed teams as the second wild card instead of seeing the Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a motivating factor for the Bruins. But there is way less at stake than for these teams that are in the wild card mix. And let me just finish with this. So the Lightning are at 95 points. They have two games left before they reach 80. And all year I've been talking about you want to get to 96 after 80. That's playoff pace. If the Lightning get 1 point in their next two games, I mean, they've clinched a playoff spot. They are going to be at 96 unless they lose their last four in regulation, which would not be great. But I think it's safe to say they're going to get to and eclipse 96. What about the other teams, though? The Islanders can max out only at 95, and that is the highest max total of any of these other teams, meaning that one of these teams, probably the second wild card team, I mean, the Caps can only max out at 93. The Penguins and Red Wings can max out at 92. 92. Right? So here's another year where if you got to 96, you were in. You're going to get in probably with low 90s in this particular year, but you're going to be one of the last teams to get in. Sorry, I jumped in on you there when you were talking about.
No, you're fine. Games of significance. When you take a look at all of those teams that have the opportunity to be the first team, the number one seed, or whichever teams are going to be taking on the first two wild cards, the only two wild cards, I actually think whoever gets Boston, if you're a wild card team, you're feeling pretty good. And I say that, and anything can happen, and I get it. Like, even Pittsburgh. Like, if Pittsburgh were to take on Boston, Boston's going to be the favorite. But, like, if you're giving me the options between Florida and especially Carolina, I think you want to stay away from those teams as much as you can. I think the Bruins, and to a lesser extent, the Rangers, because I just, maybe it's the way the Rangers play. I know Shesterkin's played well at times against the Lightning. I don't fear them. And when I say fear, that's, you know, I'm exaggerating a bit. I actually think, you know, Carolina is a team I just want to stay away from in addition to Florida because of the way they play early on. Mm-hmm. I just think Carolina is a tough, tough team to play against. And it's going to take a lot to beat them. You know, they made the acquisition to get Gensel. There really is no flaw with their team. Maybe it's the goaltending. But I think the way Rod Brind'Amour has that team play, pretty structured, pretty hard to play against. I think if you're a wild card team, you'd like to avoid that team in the first round, if you can. And if the Boston Bruins are one of those teams that you face, I would welcome that challenge. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've talked about this with the Lightning. You know, where are they going to end up? Why? You know, maybe catching the Leafs, and that's going to be hard to do, doesn't help them as much than if they just kind of stayed with where they are right now.
Right.
Because where they are right now, they would take on the Boston Bruins, correct?
Yes. If the playoffs started today.
If the playoffs started today.
I'd rather do that than
the Rangers.
I'm not certain that the Bruins are going to stay in first in the Atlantic, though. I mean, they have the inside track, but the Panthers are only 3 points back. Both teams have 3 games left, and the Panthers win the tiebreak. And I'm sorry, the Panthers have, again, I'm talking about schedule here, but they're at home for all three. Mm-hmm. And they got Columbus tonight, and they play Buffalo and Toronto. They have the same teams that they're finishing the season with and against as the Lightning, other than the game the Lightning have at Washington. So I'm looking at Florida's schedule here to get the days of those games. So they play tonight against Columbus, they play Saturday against Buffalo, and they play Tuesday against Toronto. So look, Toronto may be locked into third at that point, and it's a back-to-back actually for the Leafs. They finish the regular season Tuesday at Panthers, Wednesday against the Lightning. So again, what I'm saying about the Islanders is I could see the Islanders losing their last three of the regular season. I could see the Panthers winning these three games based on the opposition. So yeah. if they do well in their last three games, on the other hand, the Bruins have at Pittsburgh a game of incredible importance for the Penguins. That's Saturday. At Capitals, Monday, a game with huge implications for the Caps. And then it's a back-to-back, and they finish home against Ottawa. So, okay, you're going to look at that final game and say, probably the Bruins should take care of business at home against Ottawa, but what about the other two? I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that the Panthers make up 3 points. I know you just said you would rather not see the Panthers in the first round, but it is still a possibility, and I would say it's more than a remote possibility. Now, look, we come on the show tomorrow, and the Panthers have lost at home to Columbus. Mm-hmm. Different story. Fair enough. But if they win that game tonight, and I think the expectation is probably the Panthers are going to win that game tonight. They're 1 point back of the Bruins heading into basically the final week of the regular season. So,
I mean, Dave, if the Lightning play the Panthers in the first round, that is the series that everybody needs to be watching.
I would agree.
I'm sorry about that. Like, that's must watch. And, you know, you're going to get the people who say, well, it's a shame these two teams are meeting in the first round of the playoffs because either one could make a run. And that is true.
Yes.
That is true. Did I read something in The Athletic? And reading is always challenging for me. You know, I like pictures, which is why.
You undersell yourself. But
that they were talking about, was it LeBron who had it in The Athletic, Dave, about reseeding and the way the playoffs are structured?
I think I saw that article. I did not read the article, though, so you'll have to tell me.
I didn't read it either.
Okay.
But it was simply how they do seeding in general, you know, and do you need to go back to just, you know, 1-8, 2-7, you know, 3-6, 4-5, and just kind of go that route. And
There are no easy matchups, though. I mean, look, we're trying to handicap, like, from your perspective, you would rather see the Lightning play the Bruins than certainly Carolina, Florida, or even the Rangers. You have said that.
That is correct.
I think on the other end of the spectrum, basically the teams that are getting home ice, you might say, well, you know, there is a difference between how the Lightning are playing as presumably the first wild card and the second wild card. And so the eighth seed is going to be a quote-unquote easier matchup for whichever team finishes with the most points, basically, in the Eastern Conference. But that team could lose in the first round. Like, it's just, I don't know that there's that much of a gap where if you went from divisional with the wild cards to just 1-8, 2-7, like, the idea is that you're rewarding the teams that have had more regular season success with a quote-unquote easier matchup in the first round. I don't think that exists anymore in the NHL. But again, that's my opinion.
I mean, that's fair.
Maybe other people feel differently. Maybe the people Pierre LeBrun talked to who are advancing this argument feel differently about it.
And they probably do. I understand why they're doing it. I guess I'm a little more traditional. Let's just do based off of your seating. Why do we have to try and gin up, right, so to speak, and draw more interest by potentially having the second and third seeds in the specific divisions play one another? I think we're beyond that for me. And let's just, because to me that makes the regular season a little more impactful. Would you agree? Like, because in that setting, it doesn't necessarily matter as much in terms of where you finish overall. It's where you finish in the division.
Yeah.
And I feel like you need to, I think you need to take the regular season seriously. And I think the way you seed it, 1-8, 2-7, makes a long season a little more on target in terms of rewarding how well you did or didn't do going through that long season.
So we disagree there, I guess, which is fine. Like, I just don't think that 1-8 and 2-7 is substantially different, even though it might mean a different matchup.
Yeah.
Than first overall versus second wild card and second overall, the second division winner against first wild card. I mean, we may see a situation, in fact, we probably will see a situation in which the Lightning are going to have more points as the first wild card than the third place team in the Metro. So if you just did seeding, you would see different matchups. I just think that in this day and age in the NHL, you are going to have a tough matchup in the first round. Now, maybe you do very well in that matchup, right, and maybe you sweep the other team and you're the better team and you lay the hammer down. But you might lose that series if you are not basically hitting the ground running.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, but I think that's a hypothetical, and you could say that for anything. I just, why aren't we rewarding people in line with where they finished overall?
Well, you know where you are. Here's what I would say. The reward for doing well in the regular season is you get to play for the Stanley Cup. That's the reward. Half of the teams do not make the playoffs. So is there a substantial difference in this instance between finishing, let's say, seeding-wise, just overall in the conference, first in the conference or second in the conference, first in the conference or fourth in the conference? Probably not. And maybe you might even say, well, this team had more points, but they have a tougher matchup because they're in the 2-3 and the other division's 2-3, like those teams are weaker, right?
Yeah.
That's going to come with this particular format. I think any format you choose, though, I mean, unless you go straight seeding, there are going to be people who are like, well, you know, this other format would be better because you're going to get, quote unquote, rewarded for regular season success. What I am saying is the reward for regular season success is you get to keep playing. That's the reward. And for a lot of these teams, making the playoffs was not really ever in doubt after they got off to a great start in the first few months of the regular season, but it's still an accomplishment. The Lightning made the playoffs 7 years in a row. I was talking with Bob McGilligan when Columbus was in, and the Blue Jackets, of course, they made the playoffs in 2019 and knocked out the Lightning. It was their only series win in franchise history, and they got in to the playoffs, the play-in, the bubble, and they won their play-in series. I guess we could say that that was a – I guess that counted as like regular – did that count as playoff stats? It did. That was the weird thing. The round robin, remember, counted as playoff stats for the
was
teams like
hockey?
The Lightning. Yeah, that was weird. Now, Columbus played Toronto, and that was legit. Right. And that was a five-game play-in series. Columbus won that. So I stand corrected. They've won two series, and then they lost to the Lightning. But you take out those couple of appearances, and they lost to the Penguins a couple of times over the years in the first round. But boy, has the landscape been dry and barren for that franchise. And just getting in the playoffs for a franchise like the Columbus Blue Jackets is a huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
Teams like the Lightning that have been in the playoffs seven straight years, and what is it now, nine of the last 10? Like, it's a great accomplishment. You're starting the season. Half of the teams at the starting line are not going to make the playoffs. It's not the era of the NHL when there were 21 teams and 16 made the playoffs, right? And you were like, seriously, I got the short straw here? Everyone makes the playoffs. That's not the case anymore. So, I mean, that's my argument, that the point of the regular season is not so much to determine seeding in the first round. And I would make the argument, I'm not sure that you would devise a system that quote unquote rewards the team with the most points, other than the fact that if you have more points, you do get game seven at home. And that may prove to be very important in a playoff series. But my argument would be that the point of the regular season is to allow the teams that do well to play for the Stanley Cup. But look, we can agree to disagree on that. You want to see 1 through 8? I mean, I'm not opposed to 1 through 8. I'm just not sure that...
Who's opposed to it?
It's not going to really move the needle for me as a big seismic change. Do I think that, you know, like, let's say the Lightning and Maple Leafs had finished 2-3 again. Third straight year that they were seeing each other in the first round. Yeah, I mean, there's the point of, well, they're building up a huge rivalry. And rivalries are built in the playoffs. There is no question about that. But some point you would like to see a different opponent, right? Particularly in the first round. So that is a drawback to the system we have, that you're kind of gearing at least in one matchup in every division, at least one, it's divisional only. And it may be both, depending on where the wild card teams, you know, are located in terms of their division. I think that can get a little stale, honestly, if you have the same teams playing in the first round year after year after year after year. But teams from the same division playing in the first round, if they are different opponents, I have no problem with that. If the Lightning saw Toronto and then they saw Florida in the first round and they saw Boston in the first round, I mean, they're a different opponent. I just don't think that changing the seeding and how they figure out how to start the playoffs is going to really change the dynamic of, like, you're getting more of a reward. Because honestly, Greg, and we know this, like, if you can get past the first round, you know you're getting a tough matchup, and an even tougher matchup in the next round, because the team you're seeing has survived the first round.
Right.
The team you're seeing has a playoff series win under its belt already.
Right.
And I don't care how you want to work the playoffs, 1 through 16, 1 through 8, divisional, winning the Stanley Cup is no small feat for that reason. There are no, like, shortcuts, right? You're earning those 16 wins.
Hardest championship to win. I think you and I both would agree on that.
We do.
At Bolts Radio, if you want to get involved in X or on X. Anthony says, the funny thing is, if you go back to 1 versus 8 this year, the matchups would be exactly the same in the Eastern Conference.
That's not true, though, because the third place team in the Metro. Well, maybe because the second place team in the Metro is now I got to look it up, right?
Carolina, what I'm saying right, is right now.
Yeah, so I think what we're saying is because the Lightning are kind of technically seeded seventh in that they are going to see a division winner, but the division winner with fewer points.
Right.
But if we went just 1 through 8, the Lightning would be sixth. And Boston's three. So, okay, that so the fan is correct, but that might change. The only reason Boston is three is they are tied with Carolina, and Carolina has the tie break. I mean, it may end up looking a little different. In most instances, it would look different because the Lightning have more points than a team that is technically ahead of them in terms of, like, the seeding, but behind them in terms of points and ranking in the conference. But I think that that's a little unusual. Usually the three teams that are locking in the spots in their division all have more points than the wild card teams.
Yeah. It's all very confusing at times. But
it can be confusing. Look, the 1 through 8, I'll give you this, Greg. 1 through 8 would be a more simple way.
I'm a simple guy. So
I know
like
you like the simplicity of it.
I do. That's kind of where I would go. But it you're right that the teams are going to be difficult to play. Where would the light if we would just went from a points perspective? And I'll drop this topic and we'll go to more.
Yeah, questions. I can look. I have the standings. I can sort
from
it however you want.
From a points perspective, where would Tampa Bay be seated?
In the conference?
In the Eastern Conference, like if we went 1 through 8 and you just did by points.
Well, that's what the fan was looking at. So they're sixth in points.
Okay.
And if we did 1-8-2-7-3-6, they would play the Bruins. The Bruins are ranked third, but they're only ranked third because they're tied with Carolina and Carolina holds the tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. Which, look, if we went 1 through 8, that would be how we would view it. That takes all of the divisional play out of it, though. If you're just going straight 1 through 8, it doesn't really matter if you win your division.
No, it doesn't.
If the two teams...
It does not.
If two teams in the other division have more points than you, you are finishing third. So here's... I'm going to use the straw man argument here. Like, let's just say, for the sake of this discussion, that we went 1 through 8, and you do play more games within your division than against the other division in your conference, and you have a really competitive division, so that the division winner is losing more points to good teams within their division. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, and this is obscure, but let's say you have, of the 8 teams that make the playoffs, 6 are from the Atlantic Division because it's very deep and even, and the Metro is very top heavy, and you have 6 really subpar teams, and the 2 teams that make the playoffs are basically feasting on those other teams, understanding that they're playing 4 and the other division is playing 3 against those same weak teams. So what would you say if, and I'll just use these 2 teams as an example, let's say it's the Rangers and Carolina, who are so much better than every other team in the Metro. They are the right. 2 teams that get in, and because they had a lot of wins against those other weaker teams, they actually finish with the top 2 points. Mm-hmm. So the top seed is the Rangers, and the second seed is Carolina, and 3 through 8... are the 6 Atlantic teams. You're going to have people saying, well, why should the Rangers be first? They had an easier regular season schedule. So that would be the argument if we went just straight 1 through 8.
Well, and the flip side would be, if you win your division, you automatically get a seed.
Which is how they used to do it.
Which is what, and yeah, that's fair, because that gives you more, because that makes the division, winning the division, that means something. I mean, the NFL does that, right? You win your division, even if it's a poor division, even if it's a great division, you're going to get in. Now, you may be the lowest seed in the weakest division if you win it, but you still get in the playoffs. And if that means you only get one from that you know, division, then so be it. But I think you want to incentivize people for winning your division. That's fine.
Yeah.
And if you win your division, you're one of the top you know, obviously in this instance, partner, it'd be one of the top two seeds in that conference. And then from there, you figure it out. So I get it. Look,
right.
You could poke holes for everything. I do think you do want to incentivize winning your division because it's a long season. And then from there, you know, winning percentage, points, however you want to go about it. I mean, it's not going to be a perfect formula because some divisions are stronger than others. You're just going to have to live with some of those inconsistencies. But, you know, that might be for another show. Nick says, aside for the obvious choices, who is the other MVP on this team headed into the playoffs? Even more so, which bottom two lines will have the biggest impact in the postseason?
What does he mean by which bottom two lines?
Is he asking about the Lightning?
How are they going to be configured?
Perhaps.
Well, assuming he is talking about the Lightning, I would say the Lightning had their most success really this year. I'm going to say that. But in the last few weeks where they've been playing really well, their bottom six looked like this. Paul in between Asimov and Chafee. And Chafee was not taking line rushes earlier today. So the way they were running the lines, Mott was with Paul and Asimov, and Watson came in with Janot and Glendening on the fourth line. But I'm going to give you my answer, which is Paul, Asimov, Chafee, Mott, Glendening, Janot. That was fairly consistent as the Lightning were basically separating themselves from the teams that are still duking it out for these last couple of playoff spots. I don't know if that means that that's the best configuration in a particular series where you're worried about matchups, but I've said, like, Nick Paul has slotted in really well as the third line center. And, you know, he seems to have chemistry with AC Mott and Chafee. And you and I both said, we like Mott and Glendening together. They kill penalties well together, and they play well together 5-on-5. So that, to me, makes sense. His other part about the MVP, I think if we're going to say, I assume he's referring to Kucherov as the MVP. So who would be behind him? I mean, you've talked about the goaltending. You know, Braden Point has had a very good second half. Stamkos has a very good 6 weeks. Hedman is approaching a career high in assists. I mean, all of that is true, right? I don't know. I don't know that I can pick one player. I think the Lightning have been able to put themselves in the position that they are currently in, which is having made the playoffs and playing some of their best hockey at the correct time of the year. There are a lot of factors that have gone into it. I'm not sure that I can pick one particular player. I don't know if you feel differently about the bottom six or MVP behind Cooch.
Well, I'm going to go outside the box a little bit with the MVP stuff because that's how I like to operate a little bit. I've said the goaltending to be consistent, I think, actually kept the team's head above water for a decent amount, especially early on, even though the numbers didn't reflect it. I thought Johansson was really good early on, and I think that allowed the Lightning to be in the mix. And then I think we're seeing Vasilevsky kind of finish that off towards the end of the year. So collectively, I think the goaltending has been really good. So you're asking me what would my team MVP or beyond Cooch, who would it be? I'm going to say goaltending, but I think it's interesting because it's not necessarily what a lot of people were saying about the Lightning early on. And what I was saying was I felt like they were playing better than the numbers indicated because we saw some breakdowns and some turnovers. Yeah. And now you're starting to see Vasi play like Vasi. It's opened up people's eyes, and it's one of the reasons why many people were like, I don't want to face the Lightning in the postseason. And oh, by the way, the Lightning might be able to run through the playoffs again, because I think Vasi is where he is. I actually think, you know, again, outside the box, team MVP, it may be Julien Brisebois. And I say that because what was the other critique I had? And you and I discussed this on the show, was depth. What did that depth mean? Now, some of it was the Lightning got a jolt when they brought up some of those young defensemen. And, you know, the team, the veterans talked about that new blood, Dave, in the lineup helped. get them maybe playing a certain way beyond what they were showing. But I also think just having Dumba and Duclair in the lineup allowed the Lightning to add two accomplished veterans, Duclair specifically, kind of rounding out the top six, and giving John Cooper a more complete roster. It's not a perfect roster, but we wanted Julian to do something. And I think the two guys that he brought in have brought some stability, some depth that was much needed. In addition to what Chafee has brought to the team, let's not minimize what he's done, because it does appear he's in the mix to be in the top 12 when the playoffs begin. I actually think it would be goaltending for me, Nick, and then it would be Julian Brisebois as my third candidate. Are there other guys who have performed well? Sure. I mean, you could make an argument, you know, Braden Point with his play, Dave, recently, and finding that groove maybe after being a little more inconsistent early on has given the Lightning another jolt offensively, and I think that's pretty fair.
Yes.
Victor Hedman's play on the back end, he's been steady. We gave the numbers last year or last show, and it's pretty impressive. Stamkos, how can you argue? You know, he's playing in a contract year. It's unthinkable in many ways, but he's going to hit 40 goals. I mean, that's pretty incredible. But I would actually go goaltending collectively, and not because of what they're doing now, but maybe what they did early on. And then I would go the general manager for getting his team some more options and giving his coach more options to better prepare themselves, Dave, for the rigors of postseason play.
And making those deals in a way against maybe not all odds, but many odds. I mean, he brought in two pretty good players and didn't have to give up much at all to get them, because the Lightning didn't have a lot of assets. The going rate at the deadline this year, or the commodity that was valued the most, and I know this makes you shake your head, Greg, but it was draft picks. And that is the one thing the Lightning do not have a lot of. Draft picks. But they were able to use a lower pick to get Dumba, and they used a lower pick and a right-handed defenseman prospect, and that is one area where the Lightning have a few players, right? They have, at the NHL level, they have Darren Radish. They have Nick Perbix. They have Max Crozier. And so Jack Thompson, like, he's a good player, but we have some guys maybe on the depth chart who are ahead of him. And I didn't mention Chernak, but I mean, Chernak's been in the NHL. I'm just talking about kind of where they are in terms of that position. And then they added Dumba, who's another right-handed defenseman, in the separate trade. But Thompson was the one player that was a pro player that they sent.
Correct.
In the deal to get Duclair. So it really didn't take much for Julian. I mean, it did take much, because he, I'm sure, had to work very hard to find players that would help the Lightning, and what was it going to take to get them. But at the end of the day, what he had to give up was probably less than what we would have expected based on the return. And based on the impact of those players who've come in.
It's safe to say that Julian has gotten more bang for his buck, especially in terms of what he had to give up, Dave, compared to previous trade deadlines, where it seemed like he had to give up a ton to get the impact players. In other words,
yeah,
I know
Term had something to do with it, though. So a lot of the 100%. Deals the Lightning made in past years, they acquired 100%. Players with term, and they cost more.
That's fair. But it's almost like, and look, time will tell. We don't know if they're going to win the Stanley Cup. We don't know how far they're going to get in the playoffs. But if they get pretty far, he will have done it by getting players who were really impactful, and you didn't have to mortgage the future. Whereas in previous years, that strategy paid off. He had to give up more because of the players he was getting had some term and were more coveted potentially. But I think we talk about the versatility of Julian Brisebois.
Mm-hmm.
He found a way to make an impact even by going this route, and they typically don't go after assets who are working on an expiring deal.
Yeah.
And I don't believe in the, well, did they talk to Duclair and Dumba about potentially re-signing?
Not yet.
I don't know if that was even part of the equation. You've heard me say this, and I may be completely wrong. I don't think both guys would be back based off of the show we had yesterday with all of the salary cap gymnastics I think they're going to have to do. But I think Breezewell was looking at it and saying, in this setting, with what I have to work with and with who I have in my system to part ways, this is the best path for us to make an impact. And they did.
They did. I'll say this. It doesn't matter whether it's Anthony Duclair, Matt Dumba, Nick Paul, Ryan Callahan. I'm thinking of guys who came in at the deadline and were on expiring contracts. The Lightning tend to just leave it alone until the end of the year. Like, welcome, get settled, get comfortable, play.
Yeah, right.
See what you think. Get to know us. We'll get to know you. And we'll revisit this later at the end of the year.
I just want to get to know you.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Sounds like a swoon-worthy song somebody performed at one time.
Oh, Al says this. You know, Al, by the way, I want to just
Al's been quiet recently. We haven't heard from Al.
Because they're playing well.
Touche, my friend.
But Al has a tendency just to tweet at me. So you don't have a chance sometimes, partner, to always see the question.
That is true.
And somebody asked, by the way, who was the person who asked us, like, why we don't read his comments sometimes on the air all the time? And we said, you know, we're taping at times. Mm-hmm. They did ask, when is the best time to submit questions?
Boomer Fitz. Wasn't that Boomer
Fitz? Was that who it was?
Boomer Fitz has been very active.
Do you have a, would X. you say, if, well, we if can you usually, can do it in the morning, do it?
Yeah. And look, there are some days when we pre-tape that you can bank on, like Friday, the Lightning are flying to Washington.
We're taping.
Yeah,
we're taping. What time are we taping, by the way?
But that we have to figure out. Okay. So get it to us the night before, or if you're up early because you're taking care of baby Enzo and letting Greg sleep a little bit. I don't know what you're doing, letting strangers come into your house, my friend. If you're up early, you can send it that morning. Most game days, we are live. Now, if it's like a back-to-back, like the Lightning were in Toronto and Montreal, and I think one of us had something going on, maybe the Montreal day, that we went a little bit early. But usually, game days, we are live. And then those other days, we kind of figure out based on our schedules. Because, you know, we don't sit in, like, the days of, like, I'm at the radio station for 7 hours, I'm just going to pop in and do my show. Like, we don't really operate that way anymore. We can do the show when we are ready to do the show. And yeah, so, right. Like, I might say, hey, Greg, my yard, I absolutely need to mow it today. So let's go at this time. Or you're like, I have a doctor's appointment for my newborn, and the doctor's appointment is at 11, so we need to go at 9:30, and sometimes that happens. I guess we could do probably a more complete job of letting people know when we are pre-taping.
We did for this week,
but generally, I think generally if we are pre-taping, you mention that at the beginning of the show if you're listening at noon. But if you want your question seen and read, best to do it before noon.
Yep. And obviously, I'm the one that will read most of them, so get it to me, but also get it to Mish so he has an idea of what you're doing. If not,
but what
not
did Al say? Because yeah, so I have no idea.
Yeah,
I didn't
Al
see
said,
it.
Greg, I used to be in your camp about playing Boston first. Now I'm of the mindset that playing Florida may be the better way to go. I just feel that the Lightning can beat anyone in seven games, in a seven-game series, when healthy. Well, I think those are two different things. Let me answer that first. Can the Lightning beat anybody in a seven-game series? Heck yeah. I mean, Al, nobody's disputing that. But I do want the path that is least resistant. And while some people, and I understand, are going to be uncomfortable projecting because anything can happen in sports, it's not scripted. We've talked about this. And I feel badly, well, no, I don't, because it's that I'm hammering them a little bit in terms of matchups. But look, we look at matchups all the time. There are certain matchups where the Lightning are better than another team. It's just, that's life. there are, you're in a situation where sometimes you're a better fit for a position than other people. Doesn't mean you can't do the job. Maybe a little harder, maybe take a little more time. Maybe the series goes 7 rather than 6. But I always believe this, and I think it was Eddie Johnston who once said, and look, many people have said this too, so I'm not going to say he was the only one. But I do think if you want to win a cup, generally, you'd like to have a series where it's not 7 or 6 games.
Yeah.
And I think it's harder to do that today in the parity-driven world we live in when it comes to the NHL. We've seen the Lightning have some 5-game series where they have, it's been hard, but they've taken care of business, Boston being one of them. Mm-hmm. I don't want any part of Florida in the first round. It doesn't mean they can't win. But I think the Lightning, whoever comes out of that series is going to be beat up. And that second round is going to be tough. And I'm just telling you, I'd rather deal with that in the second round than in the first round. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. I mean, of course it is. David Pastrnak for 7 games.
The other thing, right, too, Brett? Like, you could have a short series, but the games could all be tight.
That's true.
And so that's why I think handicapping these matchups is tricky. You might get a team that you fear. I'll even use that word. You're like, this is going to be a tough matchup for us, and if we win it, it's going to be a deep series, and maybe you win 4 straight close games, right? They're all coin toss games, but you end up getting the upper hand. I think the Lightning had that a little bit when they swept the Panthers in 2022. I mean, there was a 1-0 game in there where Vasilevsky stole it. That was the clinching game. Remember the game in which Ross Colton scored with like 3 seconds left or whatever? I mean, that was certainly a 50-50 game. Game one, I mean, the Lightning pulled away in the third period. I thought that was, it wasn't a steal, far from it, but it wasn't, so it wasn't a steal. It was more of a decisive win than a coin toss. So I thought the Lightning deserved to win that game. Game 3, when did the Lightning win that? Maybe 3-1? So I think games 1 and 3, from beginning to end, you would say the Lightning probably deserved what they got. It wasn't some like weird fluke or a goalie steal, or they made the play at the key time, and that was your ball game. But games 2 and 4 did have that, and sometimes you see that. And a 4-game Agreed. Sweep can be a grind if the 4 games are really close and tight, but then you do get the benefit. I think this is what Eddie Johnston was talking about, which is it's not only that you're playing fewer games and minimizing the potential for injury or wear and tear or all of that, you also get more of a break before the next series starts, which if it's too long of a break, sometimes it works against a team, but generally you want that.
I would agree. I think in the playoffs, at least, I'm okay wrapping up a series early. Bless me. And then figuring it out.
Yeah.
Because I think the intensity of a series forces you to be engaged quicker than in a regular season game where, let's say, you have 3 or 4 days off. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to get back, and those first couple of games, you're a little off kilter. I think the playoffs and the intensity of it forces you to get mentally ready. And the worst case is you have one game that's a little suspect,
right?
But I think in general, you know, it is what it is. So that's how I would look at it. I think Al, in theory, it shouldn't matter who the Lightning play. You're going to hear coaches say that, and they'll say, they're all tough games. And that's true. But not every team is created equal. There are some teams where the matchup flaw is greater than for somebody else. I was listening to another talk show that was saying, you know, out of all the teams Pittsburgh would face, the Rangers, they may have a better chance of beating them than the other teams they potentially would face because they match up somewhat well. And of course, there's that history partner 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about the other day.
where they had the Rangers on the ropes, and Jacob Trouba did Jacob Trouba things, and Louis Domingue found out he was Louis Domingue, and the rest was history. But that would be let's put it this way. I don't think Pittsburgh would be intimidated by the Rangers as much as they would be intimidated a little bit by the way, like, a Carolina plays.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even a Boston. Because those teams, you know what they do? And I know the Rangers numbers can reflect it too. You think of those teams as teams that D up.
Yeah.
You know, they just D up. The Rangers can get loosey goosey. They can. You get into a run and gun a little bit with the Rangers, they'll go that route. And I think that gives a team who's flawed a better chance. But that's an opinion.
Yeah.
You know what we did for most of the show today, which confirms my belief that nobody cares about the Ottawa Senators?
we didn't really talk about the Ottawa Senators. Well, I will say this. Tim Stützle, who is one of their top players, is injured. So he missed the last couple of games. He is out. Josh Norris, who missed all but 8 games last year and played most of this season, but he got hurt again, so he is out. So they have had to draw on some reserves. You know who's up with Ottawa? Remember Boko Imama? Lightning drafted him back in 2015. He played junior hockey with Matthew Joseph, interestingly. They were in the same junior team, St. John in the Quebec League. And I want to say they might have even been the same draft year, but they came up together.
He's also done stuff with Anthony Duclair on his foundation and stuff too.
Right. But, well, thank you for that. Yeah. I didn't know that. But you're talking about Imama or Joseph?
Imama.
Yeah. But I remember Boko because that's what he wanted to be known as. And in training camp, so he and Joseph came from the same junior team, and they were together in camp. And I remember Boko Imama scored a goal. Might have had even more than one in a preseason game. But he then since moved on to another organization. He scored his first NHL goal in Arizona a couple of years ago, and now he's up with Ottawa. So talk about the former Lightning players on Ottawa, because they made the trade, Joseph Apollo. You have Joseph, who's played well against the Lightning since leaving the Lightning. Boko Imama is going to play in this game against the Lightning. But then you have the former Senators on the Lightning. Nick Paul, Tyler Mott, a former Ottawa Senator, Austin Watson. Looks like he's going to potentially be in the lineup tonight. So that's always a little interesting to see, I'd say.
Always interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's always interesting. We'll make it interesting for our listeners. There's no doubt about it. We're going to make this seem like this is, you know, the last exhibition game of the preseason.
Look,
no, I'm joking.
Matt Tompkins is pretty, he's a cool customer. Like, he is pretty mellow off the ice. He looked pretty mellow on the ice, which is not a bad personality trait to have if you were a goalie. Certainly, there have been a lot of successful goalies, though, who have been the opposite of that. Think of Ron Hextall and Patrick Waugh, who would certainly get fired up, right? But I think this is an important game for Tompkins. I think he might take a little exception there, my friend, to you saying this is a glorified preseason game. This is an NHL start for him.
That's true. That's true. For him, it is. Yes. I'm not disputing that. I tell you, for him, it's a playoff game. You know?
Yeah. And you know what? Presuming Johansson, I mean, he is day-to-day. So let's presume he's going to be coming back soon. This is going to benefit the Syracuse Crunch to have Tompkins get these NHL games in, I think. Syracuse is, you know, heading into the playoffs. They've had some tough luck. I will use that word. They've had tough luck the last couple of years in the first round where it's a best of 5 in the first round at the AHL level. They have a weird playoff format. But basically, Syracuse has finished, the Crunch have been in a best of 5 the last 2 years, and they've lost both series game 5 at home. Last year, I believe they lost in overtime. And the teams they have lost to have ended up like going pretty deep in the playoffs. So it'd be nice to see Syracuse go on a little bit of a postseason run. Great for those Lightning prospects. And Syracuse, and if Tompkins, you know, builds up his game with I mean, he already has one NHL win during this recall. Maybe he can get another tonight and head back to Syracuse and hit the ground running. If they are going to use him and not use Alnefelt, I don't really know how they do their rotation down there. But if he's the guy in the playoffs, I think these NHL games will benefit him and benefit the Crunch.
Postseason play, I think, in any sport is a must if you want to develop young players, which is why this is not related to hockey at all. These coaches who don't do anything when their team doesn't make the NCAA tournament, hey, go play in the NIT. You got some young guys who want to still practice, go play.
Yeah.
Go play. Because that's what you always hear about coaches, right? Well, the postseason really does, it's good for their development. Okay. Well, hey, shouldn't matter where. Play. High stakes. That's what I say.
Hey, before we break, I should get a message out about the signing event tonight because, of course, the weather is quite rough right now, apparently, outside. I've been getting updates online that we've got some thunderstorm warnings and tornado warnings. Those are isolated, of course. Hopefully, the weather will pass quickly. But 5 to 6:15 for Thunder Alley, we're still planning to be outside for the book signing. If you were coming to the game, or even if you're just in the area, if we're on the plaza for Thunder Alley, you don't need a ticket to get into the game, but I will have copies of Blind Squirrel on hand. Fans can purchase the copies. I'll be there to sign the books. And also, if people did pre-order the book as a paperback, it's possible it arrived. You want to bring it if you've already bought it? That's fine. I will certainly sign the book. In the event the weather does not improve, we have a contingency plan to move inside, and we will share that information as needed. But I think it's still going to be in a spot where people can access it without actually having a ticket, like in the box office area or in front of the team store. But hopefully, hopefully the bad weather will be through our area and things will dry out a little bit and we'll be able to proceed as planned. And I got a nice Lightning and Fast Signs, which is a company the Lightning used, did a fantastic job with this easel sign, like it's going to appear on an easel. We posted it on social media earlier today, and it looks great. So you can look for the, I think it's 22 by 28. Those are inches, not feet, on the easel, and that's where I will be. Until we get close to warm-ups, and then I got to join you and get ready for the broadcast.
I love it. And we're 2 minutes over, but we give you more.
Yeah, sorry.
That's what we do.
We talked a lot about playoff seeding earlier in the show, but I did want to get in the information about the
Sunday event
tonight. You have
to. It's the most important thing we discussed today.
and if I can just say one more thing, and this is from the heart.
Please,
Greg,
do.
I've gotten a couple of notifications from people who pre-ordered the book, and they've read it already, and they've said really nice things about it. So thank you to... They're both women, and I really appreciate the fact that they pre-ordered the book. I appreciate the fact that they read it. I appreciate the fact that they gave the feedback, and I certainly appreciate the fact that the feedback was positive, but they seemed to enjoy the story very much, and that was really my goal.
Everybody I've talked to and everybody you've talked to said they enjoy the book, and that's kudos to you for being that author. And I'm going to call you the author.
Yeah.
And that's what your name's going to be. But it's I told you, it's just a tremendous. I got goosebumps seeing your book physically. And I can only imagine what it was like for you to see that come to fruition.
Yeah, it was nice to see you in person on Tuesday. I was able to hand you a copy.
Yeah.
I wrote you a little note inside. I
was a very kind note. I appreciate that. It's mutual, though. It's mutual. All right. Partner, great job. I'll see you here in a little bit. And we'll have the game for you at 6:30. Thanks to pregame, of course, Steve Versnick, and all of you who listen. We always appreciate you guys. I'm Greg Linnelli. You've been listening to Power Lunch on Lightning Radio.